David Rico is a PhD, an MFT, a psychotherapist, a teacher, a workshop leader, and a writer who works and lives in Santa Barbara and in San Francisco. He combines Jungian, poetic, mystic perspectives in his work, and his intention is to integrate the psychological with the spiritual. His books and his workshops include Attention to Buddhist and Christian Spiritual Practices. Currently, he is teaching two classes at Schott Center. The information in these, you've seen these booklets around town. Here's one here. His class that I'm enrolled in is called Reading and Writing Poetry for Personal Growth, and that's on Monday from 10 to 12. And it's going to go on all summer, so take a look at it. The other class that he's teaching is with Mark Ferrer, and it is poetry at the literature level, and it's on Wednesdays. So Monday and Wednesdays from 10 to 12. Classes are free, and there's information in this booklet. Okay. Dave has written many books, 18 or so, but this morning he's going to introduce us to The Power of Coincidence, How Life Shows Us What We Need to Know. And I need to tell you that this study grew out of our last study on God of Love by Mirabai Starr. There were many instances in that book of synchronicity. So we asked the expert who wrote a book on the subject to lead us further into investigation of the subject. Do we have the sign for the song? The blessing? Please get it. Thank you. We have a tradition to welcome our guest with our Word and Life blessing, and we sing it. So please sing it with a little enthusiasm today, okay? He's going to find it. Maybe some of us have it memorized, but he can just hold it up. There we go. Enthusiastic. Dave, come on up. This is for you. We bless you as you share your gifts of spirit, light, and insight. We welcome you with joy. Okay.
I don't really need this.
You don't need that.
I can put it in. Did you want to move it? Welcome, everybody, and thank you so much for coming. And I love this group, as you know, and I always find it a joy to be here. Our topic today is synchronicity, which simply means meaningful coincidence. And I know everybody in here has had this experience. I thought I'd begin with my most recent example, and then we'll kind of open it up and hear from you. I had one aunt left. That was my mother's sister, 100 years old. And she died about 3 days ago. And, I felt like, I felt some sorrow, and I felt memories coming up, you know, of her and how much I loved her and know she loved me. But in recent decades, living in a rest home, she had lost her memory, and she didn't recognize any of us family members. And she certainly didn't have a quality life. And when someone's 100, you expect that death will happen. So all that was coming together for me. And I sent my son an email saying, "Your great aunt died. And he wrote back and said, "That's a weird coincidence because I've been thinking about her today." So that's the kind of experience that we're talking about. He used the word weird. I might also use the word eerie, like it's a feeling of something that you know is beyond the ordinary. And we don't want to be woo-woo about this topic. We just want to be looking at it intelligently, but also appreciating that it shows us when these kind of coincidences occur that there's something more going on than just what we are in control of. And I'll be showing you as we go along that this what's going on is a combination of where you are in your own personal journey and mysterious forces that seem to join us or guide us or encourage us to move along on our journey. And to me, it's this experience of synchronicity is like the closest we get to a sense of the divine. So that's why I think it's such an important topic. Now, in the example I just gave, he was having thoughts about our aunt. You could just say, oh, it's just a coincidence that he happened to be thinking about her on the day that he got the news. Or you could say, somehow, whatever energy she has in our family story was coming through to him, and somehow he was feeling a connection that has always been there since he was born, and it suddenly came through just at the time when she has moved to a different plane of connection. Now I'm thinking of the people who die that we loved, especially family members, relationships. I'm thinking of them as becoming, shall we say, spirit companions. Instead of just thinking of someone dying and being completely gone, you could think of such people as still with you in some way, but on a spiritual level. So all of this is part of our topic. I would like you right now just to turn to the person next to you. We're just going to do this for 3 or 4 minutes. And just share any example of an unusual coincidence that has occurred for you in the course of your life or recently, preferably recently, just so that we're all together on our topic. And it could be a minor coincidence or a major. I'm going to make the distinction shortly. But let's just do that for a few minutes. So. Hi. Nice to see you. Don't forget our poetry class if you want to come back.
I know it. I'm going to try to.
Okay. Hi.
I was just going to say, are you going to shut off the, you're not recording this part?
I will be more attentive to that. I can clip this out of the recording.
Okay.
Okay, if you can wind up in the next minute. Okay, we're about ready. So, now let's just hear one from each side of the room. So we could have one volunteer come up to the microphone and tell us your synchronicity. Okay, hi, Christine. Okay.
Last May, I had breast cancer surgery, and it was outpatient surgery. And I wasn't familiar with the building, so the day before I went scouted the building since I didn't want to be looking for it in my bathrobe the next day. And so I went in and they answered my questions, and I was going back out behind the building to the parking lot. And the first car in the parking lot, the license plate was CLM, which is my husband's initials. So I haven't seen him in 22 years at that point, but he's obviously watching me.
Yeah. Good. Sense of presence. Good. Okay. Somebody on this side over here? It's good to have your example witness. Hi, Christiane.
A few years ago, I made a presentation at Word. A few years ago, I made a presentation at Word and Life, and I was planning to talk about an experience I had with Spencer Sherman when he does deep meditations, guided meditations that almost take us into hypnosis. And I had a very strong visual image of me sitting in the dark. I think it was a lawn, a meadow, and I was making a fire, and something walked up to me on my left side, and it was a deer, and it licked me on the shoulders and the cheek, and then it nestled against me. And I thought, what did it mean? And as I was leaving the house to come to Word and Life, I said, oh my gosh, I totally forgot to find out what the deer meant. And then my next thought was, oh, I better use the bathroom before I go. So I go to the bathroom, and I have art magazines, and I grab one, randomly open it, and there was a painting of a girl with a deer snuggled up next to it. And underneath it said, the deer represents the spiritual journey.
Oh.
So.
Great. The deer represents a spiritual journey. Answer the question, what's the meaning of deer nestling with you? Well, good. This is a great way to start. And this is such a wonderful topic because it automatically combines the psychological and the spiritual, as you'll see as we go along. I just wanted to mention a little about the origin of it, of the word. This is something from Carl Jung. He used to have a lunch on a regular basis with Einstein, who was telling him about the relativity of space, and he came up with the idea, well, there must be also a relativity of time, and he came up with the word synchronicity. Chronos means time in Greek. And S-Y-N means connection or combination. So there's something that connects us with the world around us in the course of time. It happens in time, that is, in the course of our life. It happens just in time, as in it happens at the exact time that it's needed, and it even happens beyond time, or takes you beyond your own limited experience of time as duration. So you could think of time as 1 minute after another. Also, you could think of time as past, present, and future. So the present is sandwiched in between the past and the future. Or you could think of time all at once as simultaneity, and your whole past and your whole present is present right here in this moment. And when you have that sense, that's the same, you're making contact with the same way that synchronicity operates. It shows you that there's a kind of unity in our life that cuts across time. So the things that happen to you in your childhood become present in specific moments. And the particular moments in which it becomes present might be exactly what you need to give you a sense of comfort about the wonderful things that happened, or to show you where your work is about the things that happened that were not so happy. But somehow it's all coming together in such a way that you get a message about where you are on your journey and where you're going. And I'll be showing you how this works as we go along. Jung made this connection between the psyche and the external world. And this is a quote. Psyche and matter, what's in me, what's in the world around me, psyche and matter, are two aspects of one and the same reality. This is the foundation principle of synchronicity, that there really is no distinction that's hard and fast. There's no dualism between myself and the world around me. Somehow, it's a continually folding in and out of itself experience. And when Christiane saw the magazine, when Christine saw the license plate, they were looking at something apparently external, but it was cluing into something internal. In the case of Christine, it was, how do I open myself to healing? In the case of Christiane, it was, what did this unsummoned, unchosen image of the deer in me really mean? And somehow the outside world was giving an answer. Or another way of saying it is, there is no outside inside. It's just the way it looks. Sometimes it looks like it's outside and vice versa. He also says that the psyche is not just something in your head. It's not as if the psyche is in your head like a newscaster is in your TV. It isn't really like that. The psyche is a gigantic Atlantic to Pacific reality, which just localizes itself in this particular body, but is actually all over. It's everywhere. Who you are is everywhere. And when something comes your way from the apparent outside, you're really just making contact with the full spectrum of yourself. It's much bigger than your list of personality characteristics. It's much bigger than the story of you and your family. It goes way beyond that. And so it will scan the world to find just what you need. And I stated pretty well on page 5. By the way, we're reading, for this time, we read the introduction and chapter 1. And then for next week, we have chapters 2 and 3. And our book is called The Power of Coincidence, How Life Shows Us What We Need to Know. That summarizes it. But I do like this paragraph on page 5, toward the bottom. Synchronicity shows us that more is at work than can be accounted for by chance. Since correlations are happening beyond our control, in both the examples that we just heard and in mine, nobody was in control of what happened. It was beyond control or choice. It was just by chance. Okay. Since correlations are happening beyond our control, we trust. How interesting to make that connection. As soon as you let go of control, paradoxically, you have more trust. It seems like in order for me to trust, I have to be in control of your behavior and mine. But in reality, at a spiritual level, it's when I let go of control that I notice my trust increasing, because I'm trusting something bigger than myself. Since correlations are happening beyond our control, we trust that something, we know not what, is always at work. We know not how to make us more than we are now, and to make the world more than it is yet. So something, this would be the essence of faith. Something is always and lovingly at work. We know not how. And its purpose is to bring out everything that's true of us, to bring out our full self, and to make the world more of what it can be. So our personal work and the calling to redeem the world all come together. And you don't have to have a belief in a God as a person to feel this. You can feel that I'm just not alone here. There's something more going on. Remember that song, When You Walk Through a Storm? Keep your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden light and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart. I do know some poems by heart. Apparently not this one. And you'll never walk alone. Anyway, I like the song because it gives you the feeling that if you just keep going on your journey with hope, it will be the equivalent of being accompanied. And it never mentions God. So you could see it that way. You could see it as God is with me, as in the 23rd Psalm. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, God, art with me. You could see it that way. Or you could just have hope and keep walking on the journey, keep walking through the dark valley, and even then you'll have a sense of accompaniment. This is what synchronicity shows you. There's something, and I don't know what it is, and it's somehow with me on this journey. Now, sometimes the message that's coming through is one that you're not yet ready for. So you could say, wait a second. You could say that you're feeling as if something is calling you to do something new in your life. And then a series of things happen that show you how you could do that. You start to get some offers, try this, give this a chance. You see a friend of yours taking off in a new way in his or her life, and you
think to yourself, well, I could do that too. I don't just have to stay put in this pattern that my life is in. I could do something a little different. I could move in a whole new direction. And then you have this series of events, that would be synchronicity, of course, that coincidentally show you that it's time for you to step up to the plate in some altogether new way. And of course, you have the choice. You can say no or yes. And of course, if you say no, or if you think back over your life and you think of the times in your life when you could have taken a little different path, as in the, you know, path not chosen, the path less traveled, you kind of regret that you didn't make a particular move. That was an example of saying no, and the universe allowed you to say no and just moved ahead and left you where you were. That's sometimes how it happens. But there are other times when you say no, and we don't understand how this happens, but the universe won't allow that. It forces you, it pushes you, and you just have to do it anyway. I'm sure you relate to this. A good example of it is in The Wizard of Oz, where Dorothy gets the message. There's a bigger world than this farm in Kansas, and somehow I'm being moved to go there. And so she does go. But the first person she meets, who is a traveling wizard, sees right away, this is a little girl running away from home, I got to get her back home. And he looks into his crystal ball and he shows her aunt calling her. And he says, oh, your aunt needs you, you better go back home. And she does go back home. Or another way of saying it is, she says no to the calling. And of course, the universe won't tolerate that, so it just brings up a tornado and lifts her up and throws her into the new world. And then it goes from there. Everybody get it? So these callings that come through, we could say no or yes. We could say yes right away. And we're remembering what St. Paul said about Jesus. In him, there was only yes. Never yes and no. Only yes. So one of the ways of working with synchronicity is this attitude of the unconditional yes, also called thy will be done. That somehow I am practicing this particular spiritual orientation, that I will say yes unconditionally when I feel moved in a certain direction, and see where it takes me. So I wanted to give one more quotation. This is at the bottom of page 5, and this is Saint Teilhard. I was going to say that he isn't a saint officially. We're no longer waiting for canonizations. We spend our lives waiting for the great day, the great battle, the great deed of power. Something big is going to happen to me. I just feel it, we're saying. But that external consummation is not given to many, nor is it necessary. You could just have your own little life with your own little events. That would be perfectly okay. But as long as our being is tensed passionately into the spirit that is in everything, then that spirit will emerge from our own hidden, nameless efforts. Right from the hands that knead the dough to the hands that consecrate it, only one host is being formed. So no matter how little your life may be, you're participating in the gigantic evolutionary drive that's in all things and in all people. And synchronicity happens so that we will get a clue as to what direction to take. So that will be an overall introduction to the topic. Anybody have questions or ideas that you want to share about this before we go on? Okay, Barbara. And when you have a question, you can just come right up to the microphone. You don't have to wait for me to offer.
Well, a good example, when you say no and you're saying it keeps coming back. Back in 1984, I had been traveling for months and had lost my job because I was gone so long at St. Francis Hospital. And I remember not having any fear and just saying, you know what, I feel great, I'm going to take the rest of the summer off. This was now June. But I kept looking for a job, and why I wasn't fearful that I wasn't working, I'm not sure. But I waited, and a job at the Santa Barbara Symphony opened up. And out of all the candidates, he chose me. But when I looked at the salary, and I just got my master's degree, I said, I just can't work for that little. And he kept asking me, and finally he went to the second person in line. And she said, well, I can't work for that little either. So he raised the salary a bit. She was supposed to start, and the first day she came down with mono. So he calls me again. I remember sitting on the front porch of my house, and he called me again. He says, please come. I need you so badly. And I remember just laughing, saying, if anything chases me this much, it must be important. And that's when you're saying, when the no, 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 it finally becomes a yes.
Yeah.
So that was a good example.
Yes, and beyond your choice.
So 28 years later, I was still there.
What a great example. Anybody else have a comment? Dennis?
Well, in 1976, I was living in a garage and working on my BA in religious studies at UCSB. And I was prone to study all night. And on this particular night, I fell asleep over my books. And I had this dream. And in the dream, I was walking alone across the desert. But the path that I was walking on glowed in the dark, even though it was a moonless night, so it was really dark. But the path glowed in the dark, and it was warm under my feet. So it was as though the path knew that I was there. And even though it seemed like I was alone, I was not alone, because the path was leading me where I needed to go.
Hmm. Thank you, Dennis.
During this course, will we be talking about dream interpretation?
Yes. We have a whole chapter on dreams, because that's one of the ways that synchronicity shows itself. By the way, in a sense, every moment in life is synchronicity, because at any moment, you can pronounce the unconditional yes that the world has been waiting for since your birth. At any moment, you can be moved in such a way that you take some action that you've been putting off for decades. At any moment, you can awaken in the full Buddhist sense of an enlightenment, which is letting go of the sense of separateness so that now you feel connected to all humanity, and letting go of clinging and craving that bring about suffering. So since that can happen at any moment, then in that sense, every moment is a synchronicity if we were to step up to the plate. Now, what would make us, from a psychological point of view, what would make us hold back when this calling comes through? So I want to mention three possibilities. Can everybody see this? Okay. Well, whatever I write on the board, I will always say out loud anyway. So one possibility is we feel as if we're not ready. Another possibility is we're afraid of anything new. In other words, we're afraid to try something because it might be too overwhelming. Or third, we feel overwhelmed. And we just don't want to make a change because it just seems too overwhelming, too big for us to respond to. But with each of these, you could ask yourself, okay, well then, if I'm not ready, what will it take to help me be ready? If you have a fear, you could say, well, how could I feel the fear and do it anyway? And if you are overwhelmed, you can say, well, how can I break this down into bite-sized pieces and do a little bit at a time? No one on the planet is being asked to stay put and make everything stay the same. Every single person is being asked to move along on a journey toward more and more connection, more enlightenment, and more evolutionary growth. The alternative is the equivalent of death. You see, it's more like a shark. They're either moving or dead. There's no in between. They start moving at birth, and they never stop. Well, that's the style of a human, too. But sometimes we get stuck, and we just stay stuck. I mentioned in my other class that this is my 50th year as a therapist. I began in 1969 doing therapy, and I noticed that the single most common problem, whether I was in Massachusetts or California, across the board, male, female, old, young, the one problem that is the, shall we say, gigantic maximum number of cases is I stay too long in what doesn't work. Whether it be a marriage or a job or an addiction, just staying stuck, it's just the most common problem that I've ever encountered. And it's a contradiction to the force inside of us, the evolutionary drive that wants to move on. Somehow we're saying no to that. That's what's really behind the no to the message of how do I open up in a new way? How do I change something? How do I have a life that's different from the same old, same old? You are getting messages from dreams and from life experiences and events that are beckoning you, pointing to how you can make a change. And it's just a matter of saying yes. And I know that's hard to do, but maybe we could help each other do this in the course of our 5 meetings. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Jim Jones.
People stay stuck because of fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
And the things that you stay stuck in that don't work are familiar. And you know what to expect,
mm-hmm.
even though it may not be good. So feeling your fear and doing it anyway is the way you get out of it.
Makes a difference. Thank you, Jim. Good to see you again. So, one last point on this. It would be a terrible joke played on us if we are living a life in which we're continually being called to grow in a new way, to evolve, to make some changes that give us a better sense of who we are in the world or a better sense of ourselves. And we didn't have some help to go with it. And it just so happens that this help, which in religious language is called grace, and I'll explain a little about what this is actually the very description of synchronicity. Every synchronicity is a grace. Or another way of the Jungian way of saying it is, synchronicity is the archetype of grace. So, you saw a picture of something that answered a question and invited you to have a connection to animals that would help you. That was a grace, since you didn't cause it or earn it. It just came to you as a gift. Grace is the gift dimension of life. Now, you could think of it religiously as God gives us the grace to grow, make changes, do what is good for us and good for others. You could look at it that way. Or you could just say life itself has an element of grace that keeps coming through. And no matter how far away you are from anything spiritual, you can't help but notice that every once in a while you feel like you've received some kind of a gift, special kind of encouragement or a special strength, a new kind of wisdom that you didn't have before, and you know you didn't make yourself come to it. It just came to you. That's grace. And every synchronicity is an example of it. So that's why this particular topic brings us closer to trusting that there is a power beyond our own ego. That there is more to time than just passing time. That there's more to space than just what we walk around in. And that any division between our own mind, heart, and the heart, mind of the universe is inaccurate. All right, well, it's 11 o'clock, so we're going to take our break. And how long is it for, Judy?
Whatever you call it, 15 usually.
15 minutes, and we'll come back here and continue. Okay.
A couple weeks ago, I went to a funeral for Maria Favreau, and she's the 105-and-a-half-year-old mother of Madeline Petrini and a number of others. But the mission does a neat thing with funerals, and they do the eulogies at the beginning, which is really nice because you can be thinking about something new you learned about somebody that, throughout the Mass. But so the last eulogy was given by her daughter, Marie, who said, "My mother had a life like all of us, with happy things and not so happy things, but she said yes to all of them." And then she gave examples, and then when Father Dan got up to give the homily, he said, "Well, Maria already gave my homily, so." But that's what you do for 105 years. And then last week was the funeral for Father Kenan Osborne, who was a presenter here several times. And he's a wonderful leprechaun of a brilliant theologian and a down-to-earth and playful friend to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. Jackie, did you want to mention your... Is Jackie here? Oh, yeah. Did you want to just mention your line of poetry? Because it fits with what I'm going to say next also. Jackie wrote a poem and she wanted to share the last line.
Yeah, I don't have the poem with me, but it ended... it was about somebody searching for the meaning of grace. And an old man in a bathrobe wakes up from a doze on the bench and he says, "Why, grace is the pathway that doesn't show up unless you do."
So you see it fully when you're ready or when you're open to it. And along those lines, I also wanted to share the little speech from The Merchant of Venice by Shakespeare, which I quote in the book and keep coming back to. And so I'll recite it and then say a little bit about it. And in this scene, Lorenzo, who is a Christian, is escorting Jessica, who is a Jew, and... So you have male, female, and the two different religious traditions. So you're having a combination of apparent opposites, but they have come together. That is what synchronicity is about. And they're walking out onto the patio toward the stream in the back of the house. It's taking place at night, so you have the stars in the heavens that are very brilliantly shining. And then you also have a little group of musicians who are, of course, playing in harmony. So you have the harmony of the couple, the harmony of the stars and moon, and the harmony of the music all happening at the same time. The one word in the poem that you may not know is patens, P-A-T-E-N-S. A paten is the gold plate that holds the communion wafer during Mass. "How sweet the moonlight sleeps upon this bank. Here will we sit and let the sounds of music creep into our ears. Soft stillness and the night become the touches of sweet harmony. Sit, Jessica. Look how the floor of heaven is thick inlaid with patterns of bright gold. There's not the smallest orb which thou behold'st, but in his motion like an angel sings, still choiring to the young-eyed cherubims. Such harmony is in immortal souls. But whilst this muddy vesture of decay doth grossly close it in, we cannot hear it. So he's saying there's a beautiful harmony in the universe, and as long as we're tied to the opposites of life and death, like growing and decaying, as long as we're still caught in that, as long as we're still in this dualistic frame of mind, we won't notice the harmony. And the same harmony that's in the constellations is the one that's in us. I can't imagine anything more profound. And it's the perfect description of that quote I gave at the beginning, that psyche and matter are two aspects of one reality. Although it sounds better from Shakespeare. But I think everybody understands what the poem is trying to say. So that's what synchronicity is about. And I want to mention some examples of it. And now I'm on page 19 of our book. So it could be a coincidence, and it could also be, let's just say what a coincidence is for a moment. A striking occurrence of two events that are similar or that correspond with each other. They either happen at the same time, or they happen over a period of time, like a series of endings or beginnings. And it happens by chance, not by choice. We can't make it happen. We're not in control of it. We just notice it. And when you notice it, it's synchronicity. So it has to become conscious in some way. And from Jung's point of view, there is no such thing as simply random chance. And this is one of his quotes. There is no room for chance in the meaningful world of the psyche. Once you live in a world of meanings, and one of the ways that meanings come through are through synchronicity, once you live in that world, you no longer think of things happening by chance. Obviously, there are some things, simple things, that happen by chance. But when you start to see meanings, then you've gone beyond chance. I would put it that way. So, one example is coincidence. That's the most obvious one. Correspondence, connection, resemblance. Links between past events and later developments. So the simplest example of that would be a synchronicity that's true for every single person in this room. Every single person on the planet. It's the meaningful coincidence of the moment at which your parents met. They didn't make it happen. Somehow they found each other, and a meaningful event came from the original meeting, which is your birth. So in that sense, everybody's here because of synchronicity. It could be a trigger to a series of events or something that touches off something else. It could be a turning point. It will feel uncanny. It will be unexpected, improbable. Sometimes it's something that occurs on the spur of the moment and touches off a whole new series of consequences. It could be a form of a revelation, a vision, a dream, an intuition. It could be a fluke or a happenstance that shows you a whole new possibility for yourself. And the word serendipity is also used to describe something like synchronicity. It's a little, it's not on quite the same level. Serendipity is finding good fortune by accident. And you want this to replace the battery? Okay, thank you. And this is Dennis, who's helping us with all our work. Can everybody hear this way? Yeah. Any comments or questions about this part? I just wanted to give some examples. I'd like to read this little paragraph from Jung in his Travels in Egypt. And now I'm on page 18, right in the middle. And this is from his book, The Archetypes and the Collective Unconscious. In Upper Egypt, near Aswan, I once looked into an ancient Egyptian tomb that had just been opened. Just behind the entrance door was a little basket made of reeds containing the withered body of a newborn infant wrapped in rags. Evidently, the wife of one of the workmen who was building the tomb had hastily led the body of her dead child in the nobleman's tomb at the last moment, just before they closed it. She must have hoped that when the great man entered the sun barge in order to rise anew, the little stowaway might share in his salvation, because it was in the holy precinct within reach of divine grace. Isn't that beautiful? You know, they believe that after death they would be taken on to a barge, a ship, and this ship would bring them to eternity where they would live forever. And so the mother's child who had just died on the very day that they were closing off the tomb, she placed him in there thinking, well, when he gets on the ship, he'll bring my child with him. It's very touching, isn't it? And synchronicity often has that kind of feeling to it. So, any other questions or ideas? So I want to point you to my list of practices, and they start at the bottom of page 19, like keeping a journal of your various coincidences and seeing how each one offers a grace. And for number two, which is on page 20, I have where you could look at the significant events of your life, list them by decade, and then explore what synchronicities were attached. And you want to look at the events also that seemed negative at first but turned into something good. Is the other one going to be ready? Okay. And during the break, someone brought up about, well, do synchronicities happen in negative ways? For instance, you could have a terrible accident or diagnosis that comes out of nowhere. And you could even have a series of negative experiences. It's still synchronicity when you draw something meaningful from it. And what is the bridge between the events and the drawing of the meaning? It's the three-letter word, yes. When you say yes to each thing that happens, no matter how bad or good, it opens the door to some kind of wonderful message coming through that shows you how, no matter what happens, you're receiving an opportunity in the event to move along on your journey. And since every event that occurs offers just such an opportunity for me to evolve in the direction of more love and less fear, since everything offers that opportunity, in that sense, nothing is negative. Nothing is negating anything. It may be hurtful, harmful, bring about suffering. It may be something that is very unwelcome. But no matter what it is, it has within itself this possibility of something to come from it that will help you grow. Serenity prayer would be an example. So I'm accepting the things I can't change, and it's giving me serenity. That would be the gift dimension of it.
I've had a lot of synchronous events in my life, but one of them, the love of my life I met in college, and we were together for about 6 years. We were married, and then he decided he wanted to go off in the world and do other things and left me. And it was pretty traumatic, because it was like my soul was broken in half, practically. But I went out and did what people told me to do. I moved on, got a new life, had children with somebody else. And curiously enough, about 30 years later, that man came back into my life. He had grown tremendously, and it's really a wonderful life. But it would never have happened, we don't think, if we hadn't gone through that terrible time. Anyway, I think that's a really good example of a terrible thing.
Yes. Good. Thank you. And, of course, some terrible things just remain terrible, so it's not. We don't want to be superstitious, but the one thing that does remain is this possibility of some type of growth from the experience. It may not always turn into what you want it to be, but it will always give you a chance to be more.
Hi. Hi, I just want to share this, how you say things, the past and the future collide.
Yeah.
So I was adopted at birth, and I found my birth parents. And in 2012, I had a tray hit me in the side of the head and detached my retina. And I had to be face down for 8 weeks. I could only lift my head up 15 minutes on every hour. So I had met my birth father for the first time. He and my birth mother started dating again after 53 years anyway. It's a whole other do-do-do-do. But anyway, so I, you know, my birth mother said, well, I'll come because, I mean, I could only. So she came, and I had to have eye surgery for my detached retina. And when they do that surgery, they take the insides out and put a gas bubble in, and you make your own insides to your eye, your own, it's called aqueous fluid. But anyway, so my husband said, well, what happens to what was in the eye, to the retinal specialist? And he said, oh, that is the only embryonic matter that's still left in your body. It's from when your eyes were being formed in utero. That was the nourishing material, so the viscous inner eyes. And he said, what happens is that comes out and this gas bubble gets absorbed and your body makes more fluid to fill in the space. So I had never, we separated at birth, but she came while I was head down. So here's the woman who the only time I'm ever with her in my life is when I'm in utero and my eyes being formed. And now I have my own eye. I'm forming my own eye. And here's this person. So I have one embryonic eye and one Catherine-made juju eye. But for her to really be there to come and take care of me, because I was helpless. I mean, I couldn't do anything. I just could sit there and eat food like a dog when it was brought to me. So, but yeah. So that was, you know, this convergence of,
yes,
synchronicity and a bad thing turning out to be a good thing and the whole ball of wax.
So. Well, I'm glad it all came together for you. Very good example. Okay. Well, I wanted to take a look at one more thing, and now I'm on page 22. Because the question comes up about interpreting the synchronicities, and of course there's no knock-em-dead way to interpret. But I've got my list here, so we're just going to take a look at the list, and then I have a little disclaimer. Canceling the whole list. So, for instance, let's say you have a series of losses. Well, the message is definitely let go, grieve. That's what we do when we lose someone, we grieve. And the extent of the grieving is in direct proportion to the importance of that person in our life or of the events. So, for instance, in the example we just heard, you know, you met somebody who was important to you and then he took off. That would be a big loss. If it's a series of losses, it seems as if I'm getting the message, I've got to just kind of relax, let go, grieve, and then move on. Whereas if the opposite happens, you get a series of opportunities. Well, maybe the message is step up to the plate and go ahead with one of these. Take hold. Sometimes you might have the experience that everything is going wrong. So your message might be step back. here's a good example. You have a series of physical breakdowns, which I notice happen more and more after a certain age. And so you're going to pay attention to your stresses. What led to these breakdowns? You're going through a transition, like all the kids have left home, let's say. You have an empty nest. But you notice that you're going through it with ease instead of fighting it tooth and nail. And it seems like if you continue that way, you'll be on track to what's next for you in your life. You have a series of events in which your ego is deflated.
people show you you're not all you're cracked up to be. And, of course, the wonderful result is the virtue of humility. Or you could fight a tooth and nail and try to show how wrong they are. Same old problems keep coming up. That shows you it's time to do some work in therapy. Series of betrayals. People seem to be breaking the trust that was so important and that you thought was a characteristic of your relationship. You're not going to hate them for it. You're going to say to yourself, I need to relocate my trust. Where would I relocate it? Into myself. So from now on, instead of hanging on how much I have to trust someone else, I will trust myself to receive their trustworthiness whenever that happens with gratitude, and to handle their betrayals without retaliation. So if I do that, then the series of betrayals, which were an example of synchronicity, same thing happening over and over, if I go the way I just described, I have become stronger and more spiritually advanced than I was before. I'm sure you can relate to this. This happens to me sometimes. I'll have a series of memories about a certain era of life. So there's something in those memories that is still unfinished, waiting for you to take a better look at them. And sometimes it has to do with grieving. And finally, you could have a series of opportunities to show generosity, and this helps you let go of clinging. But then my disclaimer. So a series of losses may mean letting go, but it could also mean put in more effort to change something. And I think my best way of handling that would be the famous prayer that they use in Alcoholics Anonymous. So I'm going to summon up the courage to change the things I can change, and I'm going to ask for the serenity to accept what I can't change. So a synchronicity will feel like this is what's meant to be, but it could mean this is what's meant to warn you to beware. So you want to ask yourself about that. And there's no reliable chart when it comes to figuring this out. But it does help to talk to somebody about what's happening with you and see what other people say. Because the people around us, the people in our life circle, be it family or friends or colleagues at work, they are all on the stage so that the story, the drama of your life, can unfold the way it needs to. Just the right people have shown up to show us who we are and where we go from here. And I'm certainly aware of that when it comes to family members. Nobody can trigger you in just the right spot to show you how unevolved you still are. So in that sense, it's all part of the synchronicity, if you see what I mean. All right. Anybody have any questions about this part? So my chart wasn't very useful, but I thought I should put it in there anyway. The important thing to remember is that the bridge between the unusual coincidences and the meaning is yes. It's never why. Why only puts you into your head, only brings you to the left brain trying to figure something out. But yes brings you to the place in your soul where you can open to whatever has come along and somehow trust that if it happened, it must somehow be useful. Useful for what? Useful for me to be fully who I am, show all the love that's in me, and let go of the fear that's been holding me back. You can trust that those three are behind every synchronicity. Or another way of saying it is, we're continually receiving a summons, a call, an invitation. Invitation to what? To show this you that you really are and to express the love that's always been in you and to let go of the fear that stops you. So in that sense, also, synchronicity is a grace. It's doing the same thing that the Holy Spirit wants to do. What a beautiful way of putting it. It's doing the same thing that the Holy Spirit wants. What does the Holy Spirit want? That you be who you are, with all the love and without the fear. So that's why I consider this such a wonderful topic, because it brings us to these realizations. Yeah, the three callings that come through in our spiritual understanding of synchronicity. First, that you be, finally, who you are without inhibition, without limitation. Secondly, that you show all the love that's in you in whatever ways are appropriate. And third, that you let go of the fears that have held you back for so many decades. Some of the people that we grew up with, some of the schools that we went to, the church that we were a member of, we can't necessarily trust that their purpose was to bring out what we really are. We got the impression they were trying to compress us into the image of what we were supposed to be. And at some point, we have to awaken from that and say, wait a minute. I haven't got a lot of time left to make my personal appearance. I was watching a show last night on TV. Robert Osborne, you know, Turner Classic Movies. And it was snippets of various interviews he had done with various movie stars. Of course, these movie stars are all from my own childhood. So I was interested. And I noticed that, oh, this person is being real. This is really Betty Hutton. This isn't Annie Get Your Gun. This isn't whatever other movie role she's playing. This is the actual person. And this is what she looks like now. This is how she talks. And I thought, she's getting her chance just to be exactly who she is. And she's not trying to look as beautiful as she was in the past. She's just okay with being who she is now. And the
presenter of the program said that one of the skills that this interviewer had was he made the movie stars feel comfortable to show their true self. So she could trust that it's okay to let you know that, you know, I have some warts and I have some problems and I'm not up on the silver screen as a kind of goddess. I'm just myself. So you want to ask yourself, who gives me that opportunity? And sometimes the opportunity comes from some type of event that releases you and lets you, shall we say, let it all hang out. Okay, well, our time is almost up. Do we have any final questions? Okay, Jackie.
It's not a question, it's a comment that you talking about interviewing the stars made me think of an interview with Peter Sellers done a long time ago. And Peter Sellers admitted himself he'd had, I don't know, 4 divorces. And he said, the problem was I became every role I took on. Mm. I didn't know who I was, and my wives never knew who they were living with, and they couldn't stand it anymore. He said, I lost my identity in my roles. So you imagine that can be the danger sometimes, especially if you want to throw yourself into it completely. Can you see him trying to walk on water and all? Yeah. Go home and walk across the swimming pool?
Barbara.
Only because she brought up actors, it triggered. Just the other night, I had this dream that I was preparing for a play with other actors, and we got on a bus to go to the theater. And as we're on the bus, I kept saying, "I don't remember the part I'm supposed to play. I don't remember my name. I don't remember who, you know, I'm supposed to play when we get there." And I said, "We've got to go back." But the bus was going down this, you know, huge hill on its way, and I couldn't get back. And when I was thinking about it, it almost felt like, leave that play person behind. Become your real self.
Mm.
You know, don't worry about playing. Let them play, but you have to find your real self. So I just had that dream just 2 nights ago, or last night. And it just really triggered this feeling of, you know, who am I supposed to be playing? And I couldn't remember. And I wanted to go on and be myself.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you, Barbara. And in line with what Barbara said, it's I've been thinking, working with clients who are, you know, some clients are alcoholics or drug addicts, and I've been thinking to myself, how does this addiction measure up to the universal addiction that we all suffer from, which is attachment to the image we have of ourselves that we try to project to the world. How addicted we have become to this persona that we're trying to project. That makes addiction to alcohol and heroin seems so minor, because there isn't even a program to help us get out of it. Everybody just takes for granted that it's perfectly okay. Well, I'd like to end with this beautiful poem by Emily Dickinson. And in this poem, the only word you might not know is augur, A-U-G-U-R. Which in this context means a measuring tool used by carpenters. the props assist the house until the house is built. And then the props withdraw and adequate erect the house support itself and cease to recollect the auger and the carpenter. Just such a retrospect hath the perfected life, a past of plank and nails and slowness. Then the scaffolds drop, affirming it a soul. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, Dave.